Shavuot Tov Mevarach, Mishnah Yomi is continuing in the third chapter of Sukkah, Mishnah 11, Mishnah Yud Aleph. Makom shenachgu lichpol yichpol. Now we've been discussing the recitation of the Hallel on the festival of Sukkot, right after Shacharit. We recite Hallel, holding the lulav and etrog, the arbaminim, and we talked about waving them at certain points in the service yesterday. Now we say makom shenachgu lichpol yichpol, a place where they have the custom to double up some verses. We double up those verses in that place according to their minhag. And we do this in our recitation of Hallel towards the end. We do double some of the verses. Lifshot, yifshot. If they only say them once, they're pashut, then you only say them once there. Levarech acharav, yivarech acharav. If they make a blessing after it, you could make the blessing after it. Hakol kaminaga medina. All goes according to the custom of that place. The partner here points out, says making the blessing before saying Hallel is a mitzvah. Now this is talking about days when one is required to say Hallel, such as the festival of Sukkot. There's actually an interesting machlokis about, do you make a bracha on Hallel on Rosh Chodesh? Now actually reciting Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is itself a minhag and not a mitzvah. There's a famous Gemara in Ta'anit 28b that Rav came to somewhere in Bavel and saw they were saying Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, and he says, oh my gosh, I should stop them. But then he saw they're saying half Hallel. He says, oh, it must be just it's their minhag. I don't have to stop them. But the bracha, there's a machlokas Rishonim. A lot of the Rishonim say yes. Some say no. Rashi and Rambam say no bracha. A lot of them say yes. So the Ashkenazim typically say a bracha. Sephardim typically do not say bracha. So if you see somebody not saying a bracha on Hallel and Rosh Chodesh, that is because it's a minhag, unlike here in this Mishnah, where it's a mitzvah to say Hallel during Sukkot and also to involve the Arba Minim there. The Mishnah goes on with a new topic. Halokeach lulav mechaver b'shvi'it. Someone who's buying their lulav and also all of their Arba Minim from his fellow. Now, this fellow is an Am Haaretz, and it's shvi'it. So there's a concern that an Am Haaretz, just like they're not always careful with tithing, are not always careful with keeping shvi'it, the laws of the sabbatical year. So what does he do? Noten lo etrog b'matana. He should request that the seller give him the etrog as a gift, you know, throw in the etrog in for free with the other species. Lefi, because she'ein rashai does not have permission, the lakha b'shvi'it, to purchase it on shvi'it. Now this is a gezeira. We're concerned that if you buy the etrog from someone who's not careful with the laws of shvi'it, well, they might not be aware that the money also has to conform to the laws of Shvi'it. So just like the etrog itself had sanctity, had kedushat Shvi'it, so the money that was used as to purchase the etrog also is kedushat Shvi'it. It would be subject to biur, could only be used to buy food, and that food that you buy with it has to be eaten with the kedushat Shvi'it. So in the case of a seller who's an Am Haaretz, who's not necessarily careful, we don't want him to have kedushat Shvi'it money or produce laying around that he's not going to be careful with. So we say, please give it as a gift. Now, we could do it with behavla. The Gemara talks about that, and the Barner says, you could basically pay more for the other three species to swallow up the cost of the etrog. This does come up, lemaisa, on a sabbatical year, even motzei shvi'it, like we're going to have this year, motzei shvi'it, the etrogim v'eretz Yisrael. You need to make sure that it's been done in a kosher way, that the purchase and the commercial aspects of importing, a shvi'it sanctity fruit from Eretz Yisrael has to be done with proper hashgacha. So something to be aware of coming up. Great, let's go on to Mishnah 12. Barishona, originally, haya lulav nitl b'mikdash shiva. They would take their lulav, meaning they're all four species, in the temple all 7 days of the holiday. B'dina yom echad, and b'medina, outside the temple, only on the first day. Mishachar of Beit HaMikdash, oy, after the destruction of the temple, Hitkin Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. So Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai was the Gadol HaDor right after the Churban, and he made certain takanot to help us remember the glory of the temple and not forget what was going on there. So his takana about this was Shei Lulav Nitl B'Medina Shiva, that we should take the lulav, the four species, every day during Hallel, on Sukkot, zecher lemikdash, as a remembrance to what they used to do in the temple. V'sheyehe yomaneif kulo aser. And also the day of waving, the whole day should be forbidden. Now what this means is the day the omer was brought. Now bringing the omer was matir chodosh, was matir grain from the new crop. So before that day, they couldn't eat the grain from that year's crop until the Omer was brought. Now, when the temple was around, they would prepare and bring the Karban Omer early in the day after the Tamid Shel Shachar. So it was done. You could pretty much count on it being done before lunchtime. But as a Zecher LeMikdash, we say that whole day is Aser. You have to wait until the next day. And this would be the second day of Pesach. We call the Ketzirah to Omer, the harvesting of the Omer, was done when we're having our second Seder in outside of Eretz Yisrael. So Motze Yom Tov Rishon in Eretz Yisrael, they were harvesting the Omer, then the next day they were bringing the Karban Omer, so we wait until the day after that. Now the reason is that the temple could be built on that very day, and then we need to bring a Karban Omer, so they might not get around to it until the afternoon. So because Bezrat Hashem will have a Beit HaMikdash soon, we want to recall the possibility that the Beit HaMikdash could be built on that very day, Bimhera Ve'amenu, and you should wait for them to bring the Karban Omer. Hazak Aruch and Shavua Tov.